We're in the middle of our Advent series, and we're doing something a little bit different with Advent this year. And so if you're unfamiliar with the phrase Advent, really what Advent really means is the coming or the arrival. And obviously this time of year, it talks about the coming or the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So what we're doing this week this year for Advent is we're basing our Advent sermons around songs that we typically sing around Christmas time. And we're doing this for a couple different reasons. One is, I don't know if you're like me, but for those of you that grew up in church like I did, Christmas kind of in the past has kind of become the same old in church for me. Like we sing the same songs, and I'm going to be preaching out of Luke 1 and Luke 2, which is the Christmas story, which is what is usually gets preached out of. And for me, at times, it kind of got the same old, same old. Now, I know for a lot of you in this room, it's not like that at all. I actually love Christmas time, but you love the Christmas songs in church. You love the Christmas sermon every single year. It fires you up. And so that is awesome, and I'm super pumped about that. But I know some of you probably relate to what I'm talking about. It's just kind of like the same thing every year. And so we want to do something different without taking away from the story at all. And so what we're doing is we're preaching three sermons around Advent, one dealing with that Christ is coming, right? Prophecy in the past. One today, where we're talking about the King has come, the Son has actually come, and then next week, we're talking about the second Advent, that Jesus Christ is going to come again. And so, if you were with us last week, Jake preached on O Come Emmanuel, which is just a song that's like just deeply rooted in Scripture. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Do you remember when Jake said last week that there is 93 Scripture references just in that one song? And we just kind of sing it. Like, it's what we sing at Christmas time in church, but 93 Scripture references. I actually did not pick that song because I'm like, I'll drown. I'll be overwhelmed trying to preach in 30 minutes, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And so this week, what we're doing is a really simple song because I wanted this week to be a really, really simple message. We're singing the song Silent Night. And like songs like Silent Night shouldn't become the same old to us, shouldn't be the song that we tune out when it comes on because we've heard it 1,000 times. Because actually Silent Night, although a very simple, very straightforward song, is deeply rooted in the story of God, is deeply rooted in Scripture. And so we're gonna take a look at that today. And what I'm hoping to is for some of these songs, as we walk through them, it'll kind of reignite your heart for what these songs are actually trying to say. So when you sing it, you'll not be just regurgitating words that maybe you've said before, but you'll actually look at the words and sing and worship God as you sing them. Because that's what these songs were made for. They were made to draw us into worship of God's glory, especially this time of year. So, I want to give you a little history on Silent Night. So, for those of you who aren't familiar, which I'm one of those, I wasn't familiar until I studied this, Silent Night was actually written on a Christmas Eve in the early 1800s in a tiny little village for a tiny little church because their organ broke. And so they had prepared these songs that they were going to sing on Christmas Eve, and what they were going to do is a midnight service, which apparently people do. I didn't know that, but people do that. So like right when it turns Christmas, you're worshiping God, which is kind of cool, and they had a midnight service, but the organ broke, and all their songs were based around singing with the organ. And so the pastor didn't know what he was going to do. And so on Christmas Eve, after the organ broke, when they were trying to practice, he's walking home on a quiet Christmas Eve night. Everybody's with their family, right? It's quiet. It's in Austria. It's in a little town called Orbendorf. I'm not joking. Orbendorf, Austria. Just sounds about right, doesn't it? And he's walking home, it's snowing, it's cold, it's really quiet, and he's walking home, and he comes up with the lyrics for the song Silent Night because he wanted a song that his people could sing a cappella without the organ. And it just hit him, and he had this poem, and then he went to a friend, and he said, I need you to help me put this to music. So that night, they put it to music, and then they took it to church that night, and they didn't have their organ, but of course, that didn't ruin everything, and they sung this song, Silent Night, a cappella, and their church loved it, and it drew them to worship of Jesus Christ. And then in the next year, a few more villages sang it, and then a few more, and then it spread to other countries, and now it's spread around the world, and it's one of our most beloved Christmas songs, most well-known Christmas songs ever, and it started in a tiny little church in Austria with one pastor who was panicking because he didn't have songs to sing on Christmas Eve. Kind of cool, right? So it's not some big, unbelievable story of like lightning strikes. It's just reality. Like, that's what church is really about, right? It's the little things that make up our family, that make up our worship. And so if you read the lyrics to Silent Night, as I said before, they're straightforward. They're clearly about the birth of Christ. We don't have to debate any of that. But they're strongly rooted in Scripture. So here's what I want to do. I want to just read. We're just going to read. We're going to put them up on the board. We just want to read the words of Silent Night. And, I mean, you can kind of hum it to yourself in your head as we're reading it. That's totally fine. But I want us to just look at the words for what they are without the music kind of pulling us away from what they actually sang. Look at the words, and then we're going to jump right into the text that they're based on. So I'm going to read them. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glories stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Actually, that first one is Christ the Savior is born, right? That's how it should be, exclamation point. And then silent night, holy night, Son of God loves pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus Lord at thy birth, Jesus Lord at thy birth. So with just the words, fresh in our minds what silent night actually says, I want us to jump into Luke 1, but let me give you context before we get in there. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Here's what's going on in Luke 67, if you don't remember the story. This guy named Zechariah, God came to him and told him, you're going to have a child. It was kind of like when God came to Abraham, and he said to Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. And Abraham and Sarah were like, what do you mean we're going to have a child? We're really, really old. Like, they were old, old. And so, but Abraham believed in faith that God was going to answer. When he came to Zechariah and his wife, Zechariah said the same thing, but we're really old. And God's like, but I'm going to give you a child. He's like, God, how could you give me a child? I'm really old. He just totally doubted God that God could give him a child, even though him and his wife were old. So you know what God did? He struck him mute. He's like, you're not going to talk until it's time for you to talk. And so we don't know exactly, 9 months to a year, about the time for a baby to be born. For about 9 months to a year, Zechariah couldn't say a word. And well, we're going to pick it up in chapter 67. God unleashes his tongue and he speaks and he prophesies the word of God. The Holy Spirit falls on him because now God's got something to say through Zechariah, who now believes wholeheartedly. So pull it up in Luke chapter 1, verse 67, and read with me. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. What's the horn of salvation? Jesus. For he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old. Who are those holy prophets from old? If you've been with Freshwater, the ones we've been talking about for 15 weeks now, Micah and Isaiah and Amos and Hosea, all those prophets we've been talking about, that's who he's referencing right now. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Guys, that goes all the way back to the beginning of our prophet series, the holy covenants that God made with Abraham and Moses and David. Verse 73, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. I just love how it says, the sunrise shall visit us from on high. If you remember last week in O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, one of the names of God was Dayspring, which is that moment when light comes after it's been dark all night and light comes into earth and enlightens everything. It pushes away the darkness and brings the light. That's what this moment is talking about. This sunrise is Jesus Christ coming and bringing light into the world. And he's saying right now, my son, who's going to be John the Baptist, is the one that's going to prepare the way, is going to be born to actually prepare the way for the Christ that is coming. And what's really cool about that for us, if you've been with us at Freshwater, is this kind of the culmination of where we've been for the last year and a half. Because the prophets are all leading to this very moment, right? He talks about how the prophets talked about of old. It's all leading to this moment. But before this, what book did we preach before the prophets? Anybody remember? I got to do a better job of it. I'm not a very good pastor. Mark, right? It was only a year. Yeah, we're in the Gospel of Mark for a year. And how does the Gospel of Mark start? With John the Baptist, right? So this is like this culmination of everything we've done for the last year and a half is kind of coming together in this moment. The end of our prophet series when we get there, the beginning of our Mark series, all the things we've been teaching on is so this moment will have so much bigger of an impact on you than it would otherwise. Because this is the story of the Bible coming to fruition And that's what Zechariah is talking about. All the covenants, all the promises, everything, this moment, right now. My son is going to lead the way into this for the coming Messiah. For the coming Messiah. It's pretty cool. So that's what Silent Night is really about. That's what Christmas is really about. So let's jump into the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, we're familiar with this story, but I love this moment because it was a moment that we've been talking about a lot in the prophet series so far, haven't we? Like 800 years ago, the prophets were talking about this moment and directly obviously talking about this moment. Let me just give you one of them. Jake talked about the ones in Isaiah, like, I'm going to come to you, Emmanuel is going to come, the virgin's going to give birth to a son, all those things in Isaiah. But I want you to remember a passage in Micah. If we could get Micah up on the board, I'll read it to you. This is Micah 5, 2 through 3. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Just love it. 700 years before Christ was born. It's talking about before she who is giving labor. And it's also talking about how God's going to give them up, how that time of exile and pain and unknowing what God's doing is going to come until she gives birth and the son comes. So the first half of Silent Night is really referring to this moment, this moment when Jesus Christ is born, a moment that the prophets predicted and the people have been waiting for generations and generations. Sometimes we forget that. They are waiting and waiting and waiting for God to fulfill his promises. Our King and Savior, what I love about it too, is our King and Savior didn't come tearing into the world. Because you see, like when God's presence comes in the Old Testament, a lot of times it's by lightning and thunder and terror and the presence of God comes, but God didn't come that way. He didn't tear into the world, but he came in one of the most humble ways you could come into the world. In a town that didn't really matter anymore other than the fact that it was the birthplace of David. It was a small town from a no-name family, from a no-name place. Jesus was born and then laid down in one of the most insignificant of places, a manger. And in the song Silent Night, when it says, sleep in heavenly peace, you know, it might be referring to Jesus, but I don't think it's only referring to Jesus sleeping as a baby in heavenly peace. Yet it's talking what Jesus brought with him. That God, through Jesus Christ, has provided a way for us to sleep in heavenly peace, for us to walk in peace. We did not have peace with God, but through Jesus Christ, we can have assurance that the hostility between us and God has been paid for, and that we can have peace, and that we can sleep in peace, and we don't have to carry all the weight of all of our sin and all of the hostility of God for sin, that we can sleep in heavenly peace. It's beautiful. It's beautiful that Jesus Christ brought peace with him when he was born. Peace with him when he was born. Keep reading in Luke 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. As it had been told them. Guys, since the time of the prophets all the way back to Abraham, the people had been waiting for the time that God would fulfill all of his promises, all of his covenants to them, the time that their king would come. I know I said that once. We have to say it again. There was so much waiting. God made so many promises, so many covenants, so many assurances. So through so many difficult times that one day a king would come, and then you'll understand. Then you'll find redemption. Then you'll find all these things. And when the time comes, when it finally gets here, who does God first announce it to? Like thousands of years of waiting and anticipating. Who does he announce it to? Shepherds. Don't you just love it? I just love it. God could have come to the rich or the powerful or influential, which would have made everything way easier for God and for the beginning of this kind of new religion in Christ. But God came to the most lowly, because that's what God does. Listen, just like he came to the lowly, God came to earth in humility, in lowness. He came in humility to show us what humility looks like. And then the life of Christ was all about humility. His life was defined by this. God came to show us humility so he could call us to humility. Because guys, in the end, none of this faith is about us and our power and our strength to save ourselves or save anyone else. We say it all the time. Church, you don't save anyway, so let save anyone ever. So let the pressure fall off of you. You're not strong enough. You're not good enough. You're not powerful enough to save yourself or save anyone else. This is all about God's strength and power to save. It's about God coming to rip us out of the darkness and pull us into the light. That's what's happening here. We have no hope of the light without him, but he comes to rip us out of the darkness, the day spring, to bring light into the world and to pull us into the light by washing away our sin and death, the power of death forever. And because, I think another reason God came like this, because if God came in strength to the rich and the powerful and the influential, it would have made a statement. It would have made a statement. But he didn't come that way. He came talking to the lowest rung of society, shepherds. And through coming to shepherds first, and through his son being born in a manger, God has still spread faith in Jesus Christ to over 2 billion people worldwide. And he started it like this. It shows the power of God to accomplish anything. If he can start a faith with shepherds and his son being born in a manger, and now 2.5 billion people believe, God can do anything. God can do anything. So an angel comes to these shepherds and the glory of the Lord shows around them. I just love that. Like, I literally think God's glory has light. You know why I think it does? Because other places it says the same thing. And at the end, we're going to talk about this a little next week. At the end, when Jesus Christ returns again and makes all things new, it says we won't even need the sun. In Revelation, we won't even need the sun anymore, because the glory of God will be the only light that we'll ever need. His brightness is the only light, because he is light. And so this light of God, this glory of God surrounds them, and they tells them that Jesus Christ is born, and then a whole heavenly host, like a bunch of angels come up, just pop up all around them and are singing the praises because Jesus Christ is born. They've known this moment was coming for a really long time, and it's here, and they are celebrating with this angel, this heavenly host, that Jesus Christ is coming and that it's been announced. And it says, there will be peace for all those who God is pleased with. Does that seem like a weird thing to say? Peace for those who God is pleased with. But who's God pleased with? God's pleased with those who believe in his son, Jesus Christ. As I said before, we can't wash away the hostility between us and God, the separation between us and God because of our sin. But Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sin, to wash us new, to give us his righteousness. So listen, if you're in Jesus Christ, God is pleased with you because you have peace with God, forever peace, sleep in heavenly peace, because God has done the work for salvation for you and for you to have a relationship with God and not to come in fear and terror to God, but that God lives inside of you. And Jesus brought this with him. This is what this song is talking about. That's what Silent Night is talking about. All of these things coming to culmination right here. Let's look at it one more time. I want to look at the verse of Silent Night one more time with the story in Scripture laid out so we can connect these two things. Look, Silent Night, Holy Night, shepherds quake at the sight. It's this moment, right, when the shepherds are just in their field doing nothing, and then all of a sudden the glory of God comes, and they're afraid. And why wouldn't you be afraid? The power and majesty of God overwhelming. And then the angel's like, don't be afraid. Glory is streaming from heaven afar. And then the heavenly hosts come and they sing, Alleluia, the time has come. You have no idea what we are announcing to you right now. The world is forever going to change right now. And we're telling you first as the heavenly host comes. And they're celebrating. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. It's not just words, church. It's everything. Right in this moment, it's everything. Everything we've been talking about. Everything the Bible is about. Church, we all know the Christmas story. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you know the basics of the story. Most people, especially this part of the world, most of us know the basics of the story. But what we sometimes forget is this moment, this beautiful night that this old Christmas hymn is talking about wasn't the beginning. It wasn't the beginning of something. It was the climax of the entire story of the Old Testament, promising all these things and the inauguration of a new story, a new covenant in Jesus Christ that's going to come to fruition again when Jesus comes back. It's beautiful. So this holiday season, church, when it comes to this song, and when this song comes on, don't roll your eyes and say, here we go again, I hate Christmas music. Don't tune it out because you've heard it so many before. And listen, don't only, you need to think about this, and also don't only think about the birth of Christ. I want you to think about the Son that was predicted to come to crush the head of Satan in Genesis 3 all the way back at the beginning. I want you to think about the promise to Abraham that through his family line, God was going to bless the entire world. I want you to think about the promise to David that a king would come from his line and that king would rule with justice and peace forever and that his kingdom would have absolutely no end. And I want you to think about the prophets who told us over and over about a coming son, about a coming king, about a coming Messiah, and about this new kingdom, this different kingdom, this eternal kingdom, a kingdom with no end that would be not only the ruling place of this king that we're talking about, but a reward to those who believe in faith and love God. And that with the coming of this king and his kingdom would come God's redeeming grace, which is the last verse. Could you flip over to the last verse, Jason, of this? Silent night, holy night, Son of God, loves pure light because he brings the light with him. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus brought with him redeeming grace. Guys, yes, we are talking about the beautiful day that Jesus Christ was born, and we are celebrating that today, and it's awesome, but it was also thousands of years of promises and assurances made by God that for his people are all proved and validated in this moment. They're proved and validated with the birth of this baby, showing us once and for all. Listen, if you're doing great today or you're struggling, it proves this, that God has always been faithful and that God will always be faithful. So here's what I want to do. And here in just a second, I want you to stand. Worship team, you guys can come on up. We're going to sing Silent Night a cappella like it was first sung 200 years ago. But we're not going to mess with the instruments. We're going to close out with this today. We're going to stand. I want you to sing loud. I want you to sing out. I want the worship team to back off their microphones just a tiny bit after they get us going so we can hear each other sing. And as we sing it today, I want you to look at the words. And I want you to think about the words and that this is not just the coming of Jesus Christ, but the fulfillment of so many promises. Because that's what gives us hope, church. That's what gives us strength, church. That's when things are terrible. We can say, I know God has to be good because he kept all the promises for thousands of years. And Jesus Christ, he actually came. This actually happened. And then Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, a humble life, and died on the cross so that we could be made new. We could be washed clean. Like we have to believe that God is good. And so this year, I just want us to read the words as we're singing. Let them sink into us. Let us dwell on them and sing them out. This is a song. It's a quiet song, but it's a song of celebration that Jesus Christ came. So will you stand with me, church? I want us to sing out. Church, I love you. Merry Christmas.